Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. I thought earlier in the week maybe I should ask for somebody else to be a backup in case my voice doesn't hold up. It seems to be fairly good this morning, but it does give me a little bit of concern. So I'd appreciate your prayers as we proceed here. This morning, I have entitled the sermon, A Heavenly Mindset for Each New Day. So, there's another title, The Economy of the Kingdom of God. I'd like to start with reading the first chapter of Ephesians, and it gives us a basis for blessing, why we are blessed. So let's rise and for the reading of God's word here. The first chapter of Ephesians. Paul is writing to them. He's saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now I think the faithful in Christ Jesus encompasses Dunmore East Christian Fellowship. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now remember, the title here is Heavenly Minded, a Heavenly Mindset for Each New Day. Remember that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm hoping you're catching this. God, before the foundation of the world, predestined us to be adopted into his family. And he's saying, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, Paul says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he, God, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You may be seated. He keeps on going here. He says, "You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." He's saying, this is where you came out of, but now you have the inheritance that is planned before the foundation of the world is actually the churches. And when he talks about praying for the church back then, remember it says, he says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, I can believe that Paul, in his prayers, not only was praying for the specific church back then, but he prayed for the churches that would keep coming. And as parents, I've prayed for my children, I've prayed for my grandchildren, and I've prayed for, I do have one great-grandchild, and I've prayed for the ones who keep coming. So I think we can, without apology, pray for coming generations. And God will answer those prayers. I have here a little bit of an outline, and I feel a bit like I don't have a huge amount. But as I looked at the outline I have, it seemed like the first chapter of Ephesians fit. I'll read a little bit what I have here. The economy of the kingdom of God. It sees that in God's kingdom, blessings are always accompanied with responsibilities. What do you think is meant by blessings that are always accompanied with responsibilities? So what happens a lot of times is we get burdened with responsibilities. We think of all the responsibilities we have. We carry around a burden in regards to our duties. It's easy to do when you're tired, when you're burnt out, when you are overwhelmed, because you're just thinking of the responsibilities. Marriage is a blessing, but marriage comes with responsibilities. A home is a blessing, but a home comes with responsibilities. Money is a blessing, but money comes with responsibilities. A church community is a blessing, but a church community comes with responsibilities. So often we find ourselves at war with the responsibility part of our life, forgetting that the only reason we have those responsibilities is because we are so blessed. So if we can look at our responsibilities from the light of we have these responsibilities because we are blessed, it changes how we look at life. We no longer need to carry around the burden, a burden mindset in regards to our duties, which is really easy to do when we just think of our burdens, when we just think of our responsibilities. But when we start thinking about the blessings, then it changes how we look at life. That's why I read the first chapter of Ephesians. Paul is laying a foundation for our life. He's saying God is the one who planned for us to be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. God is the one who made us his children. And as that is a great blessing, but along with the blessing of being a child of God, there comes a responsibility. If we just think about the responsibility part and forget that we're children of God, then we're going around trying to figure out how to do everything right and how to do everything good, and we forget that we're God's children. And as children of God, we have his resources at our fingertips. Because he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. All we need to do many times is ask. I enjoyed the devotional this morning. It just made sense that we rely on God. And those stories of God's deliverance were real to the people back then, and they are still real to us today. So the responsibilities that come with our blessings are actually the substance of stewardship. So if I have the idea of all these things I have, I'm just a steward. A steward is one who takes care of the things that he's been given of. The question this morning in Sunday school was, whose are these things? Whose are these things that we have? Do we have ownership ourselves? Well, we have responsibility to take care of them, but we don't grab a hold of things so tightly that we can't let loose and help others with the things that we have. That's why we are given those blessings. The responsibility then is, how do I deal those blessings out? Many, many times, I think one of our prayers is, Lord, how can we be a blessing? You've blessed us with many things. How can we be a blessing with the things that you've given us? And that's just a bottom line, because if you have things coming in, then you need to overflow it and let other people have the blessings as well. So I'd like to keep going here in chapter 5. So he lays the foundation in the first chapter of Ephesians. But in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he keeps talking more about those responsibilities and the blessing, how the blessings work. Ephesians chapter 5 says, therefore, because of all this, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then he goes on to say, there are certain things that you should not get involved in, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Let it not once even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Those are things that should never be named among us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So many times, instead of using our mouth for all these other things, we should be giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. If we go into history, we'll discover that sometimes in history, people got to the point where they said, you know, it's just spiritual. This our life is spiritual. You can do with your body what you want to, as long as you have the spirit right. So all kinds of excesses resulted from that. I believe that God meant for us, not just our spirit to be saved, but it says that our whole spirit and soul and body be saved in the future. That is the whole purpose, that our whole spirit, soul, and body is changed into a new person. Last Sunday, Dwayne gave us a very graphic illustration. For those of you who were not here, he put a glove here on, and he talked about the glove, and he said, so many times, if I have it right, so many times we're concerned about the glove itself, and we forget that it's the hand inside the glove that is what is the importance. And if God is the one who is inside you as the external glove, then it changes what the hand does, what happens, because that glove is now moved by God. But if the glove is moved by if your body is moved by your own selfish desires, then all these things that I just named, that Paul just named, will happen, and pain and suffering and sadness and guilt and shame, all of those things happen. I said I'd like to pray for my children, for my grandchildren, great-grandchild. I had a conversation with one of my grandchildren this week, and it was not a very pleasant conversation. He had has gotten himself into a situation that is going to cause pain and suffering in the future. It can be redeemed, but it's not easy when those things happen. When you see it happen in your own children or grandchildren, when they make wrong decisions. But I was talking to my mom about this. She's 91 years old. She said, John, don't give up. There's hope. And that's true. And that's the hope. That is why God came to this earth through Jesus, to bring hope, to bring help, to bring redemption, to bring salvation, to bring about a new way of looking at life. And my grandson said, Grandpa, I haven't gotten to talk to you very much. I look back through my messages, and the only times we talk is when it's my birthday. That's not the way I have planned it, the way I wanted it to be. I want to be more involved in my children's, grandchildren's lives. That's not saying that things would have changed, but still, that's real life. That's where relationships, that's where we want not just to pray for our children and grandchildren, but we also want to be involved in. But it's also, I have other children, so to speak, who are scattered kind of through the world. And I'm not talking about the worldly world, but I'm talking about scattered in different places. And I love to be involved in people's lives. And I love to see when people allow God to work in and through their lives. So let's go into this a little bit deeper. Marriage is a blessing, but it comes with duties for both partners, both husbands and wives. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then he becomes more specific. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as a church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So here he is. I just got done reading. Marriage is a blessing, but it comes with responsibility and with duties for both partners, for both husbands and wives. I don't know why you put the wives first. I think you should put the husbands first. But sometimes when they put it in order, the most important one is given second. So we'll read the second one next. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, why does he say, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing? Does the church have spots and wrinkles when they first come to Jesus? Do I have spots and wrinkles when I first come to Christ? I do. What is the purpose of our interaction, our marriage with Christ? The purpose is for me to allow him to take the spots and wrinkles, to take those blemishes, to make them into something fresh and new, so that there is no more spots and wrinkles. And that is that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So that is my responsibility as a husband. I'd much rather talk to the men over here, and I don't want to talk to the women and say, yeah, you have to submit. So sometimes men think wives are to submit, and it's my responsibility to make them submit. That's not the truth. The truth is I am to love, and the wives, will let them take that idea of submissiveness and allow them to work that out, what they think that means. I think God is big enough that he can show you wives what the best way is to submit without me as a husband telling you this is how you have to do it. So which works best? God's Spirit directing in your hearts, or the external husband coming along and saying, you've got to do it this way? I think I know, and I think you know what the best way is. That's the blessings of marriage, and then the duties of marriage. With the blessing comes a responsibility. And if you're not married, think of it. You've got a better husband than you'll ever get in real life. Not real life, how should I say this? Those who are not married have a connection with the Lord in a way that that can be very, very special and beautiful. So never forget that. And that goes for both sides of the Paul, I'm told, appears like Paul was never married. He said he thinks it's better that way. But if you can't take that, then it's okay to get married. So he's actually almost putting marriage in as a little less desirable position than the married. But at the same time, marriage is a blessing. Money is a blessing. Too much money can be a curse. We all know that. There's all the way down through, a home is a blessing, but it needs to be cleaned regularly, stewarded properly. Otherwise, it becomes a burden. Clothing is a blessing, but it needs to be washed continuously. It needs to be taken care of. There's responsibilities that come with blessings. So, here I am in chapter 5, verse 29. For no one, I'll just read 28 to pick up where we were. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church are one. The church is called the body of Christ. The church is also called the bride of Christ. So I think we need to recognize that the church is a very, very important part of God's presence in this world. Maybe that's the only way that God's presence is manifested in this world. And sometimes the question is, well, what is the church's responsibility? The church's responsibility is to represent Jesus to the world that we're living in. What is the individual's responsibility? The individual's responsibility is to represent Jesus to those around him. What is the family's responsibility? The Christian family. The Christian family's responsibility is to represent Jesus to the people around. What are the children of the family's responsibility? It's the same way. That is why Christians are here in this world. To present the message. What if God would have just let the world go and never had any person who was Adam and Eve's second son? Abel. What if Abel would never have been born? What if Abraham would never have been born? What if Noah would never have been born? What if God would have never had a person here in this world that had faith? Where would the world be today? I think it would have destroyed itself long before this. But because there's faithfulness, because people are faithful and listening to God, then things change and we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. We're the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill is not to be hid. Therefore, put your light out there and allow it to make a difference in the world that we're living in. So, there's the foundation for marriage is simply because of Jesus Christ in the church. He says, nevertheless, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So he just puts that back. Husband's love, wife's respect. Husband's love, wife's respect. That whole thing, there's people in America, there's some books that have been written, Love and Respect. And it's very interesting to delve into that subject and to see what happens when that actually gets applied in everyday living. When a husband loves and a wife respects, a marriage runs smoothly. When a husband does not love and a wife does not respect, then marriages fall apart. There's Karen back here. We both know that. And we both fall and make a mess of things sometimes. Karen will say to herself, where did I lose it? Where did I mess up? Where did I forget to respect John? And then I look at myself. Where did I forget to love? And you go back and you pick up the pieces and you put back together again and you work it out together. And you love, and you respect, and you care, and good things happen. Next, remember, heavenly mindset for each new day. The responsibilities that come with our blessings are the substance of stewardship, children in chapter 6. What are children to do? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If there are things parents ask children to do that's not in the Lord, then you never do those things. Never do wrong things that parents aren't perfect. Never do wrong things that parents might ask you to do. Now, you also have to remember that doing the dishes is not a wrong thing to do. And there are certain things that children might think is wrong, but no, it's not wrong. It's good. So, but anyhow, in the Lord, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? It's that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And I think that doesn't necessarily mean many, many years on the earth, as much as it just means that you will have a fulfilled life here on this earth. And you fathers, and I stand guilty here, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, in the training and admonition of the Lord. It is so important. Fathers, it is so easy. I will never forget the conversation I had on the phone one night, and there was a man on the other end, a young man, and he said, your son is really angry. And he said, he's concerned because I was the one who provoked him to anger. That went into my heart like a dart. I don't want to provoke my children to anger. In my mind, get this, in my mind, I was doing the right thing. I was asking him to do something. It was about a curfew, okay? I had said, well, you need to at least let us know at a certain time where you're at. But something about the way I did it caused my son to be very angry. And I don't, you know, I look back and I say, those are things that I wish I could have done differently. But fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, because that can happen. Now, children, you also have to remember that you have a choice. And one of my sons told me once, he said, Dad, don't blame yourself so hard. I chose that route. So there's personal responsibility involved as well. Bondservants. I think this means people who have jobs. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Don't just do things with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. If I'm out there doing a job, I should do things as to the Lord and not to men. But then when I do it as to the Lord, what do you think the men are going to say? Wow, he's doing a great job. And they'll ask, why are you doing? Well, I'm wanting to please. I want to do the right thing. Well, where does doing the right thing come from? Doing the right thing comes from connection with God, from listening to that still small voice that's inside you. Then you do the right thing, and then people wonder, what's going on with that man? He's acting different from your normal run-of-the-mill employee. What we want to do is do things as to the Lord and not unto men. And then people will be pointed not to me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. It says, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. He was talking about slaves and free men as well. And he says, you masters, if you're an employer, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master is also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally. Now, somebody said that's a meaningless preacher's statement when he says, just a few more minutes here. But I will say finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of this, because you don't fight wars with your own flesh, you fight them with the weapons that God has, that God gives you. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul spoke very boldly with his pen. I think he also spoke boldly when you in person. But one of the Anabaptist men that we had in our story today, not in our story, in our history lesson today, it was said that he, is it Hans Denk? I think his writings are being translated more, and people are realizing how important some of the things were that he wrote. And the pen the pen is mightier than the sword. And a lot of times the pen is actually, it lasts longer, because about him it was said, he went to them and was preaching to them and trying to get them to, he was trying to maybe give them a little direction. They weren't very open to the direction. Guess how what they did? They just prayed loudly in the congregation so that they wouldn't hear him. Did you read that story? It's so interesting. How would it be if you would not like what I'm saying and you just start praying so you couldn't hear what I'm saying? Later, I just write it down, which is what Hans Denk did. And they discovered that what he had to write was good, good, solid advice. So prayer is good, but listening to the Word of God is really where it all comes down to. A heavenly mindset for each new day. I had titled it A Heavenly Mindset for 2025, but I thought about it. That's almost too big a pile. Let's think about heavenly mindset for each new day, maybe for each new moment, each day, every day. In God's kingdom, blessings are always accompanied by responsibilities. If we have a steward mindset, a mindset that embraces responsibility, because responsibility is the sister of blessing, that mindset can energize our days. It can fill us with a sense of delight and give us purpose in our work. A mindset of responsibility. A mindset that because of this blessing, I have a responsibility.